You say that, was there like a pass?
From the 915 to H-Town, from the Panhandle Plains to the Valley, and everywhere in between, this is the 5050 Podcast, powered by College Promoters USA. Join me, Hector Cano, as we cover the Texas high school club and college soccer landscape, along with an inside look at the college soccer recruiting scene. The 5050 Podcast is a platform about the people and for the people who are dedicated to the beautiful game. Here we go. It's another edition. It's episode 10 of Inside Texas High School Soccer. I am Coach Hector Cano, joined by the Obi-Wan Kenobi of Texas High School Soccer, Mr. Coach Rafa Castorena. Coach, how are you?
Pretty good. Good. It was a good day. A la Madrid.
Yeah. we'll get to that. We'll get to that somewhere in there today. So awesome. Great show. Thanks. Happy to be here. Sorry we got going a little late. We probably about 15 minutes later than we intended to, after our final match, our fourth match of the day between Hidalgo and San Elizario. But we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about what transpired, dive in a good bit, and then we're going to ultimately talk about what's going on tomorrow. We got five matches. So four matches played today, five matches played tomorrow, including one final, which will be our 4A girls final. And we'll get to that later as well. So initial thoughts before we dive into specific matches, Coach, initial thoughts on today?
It's, you know, exciting day. There was a couple of exciting matches. Pretty much, like I said, like the favorites who we kind of talked and discussed or we're going to, you know, be there. And now we have two finals ready to go, for one for tomorrow and one for Friday.
Yeah. Anything about the day maybe stand out to you that seemed different from maybe this year, from maybe last year or the year before that? You know, obviously this is our third edition, right? This is our third anniversary of doing this, right? Our third anniversary bringing you these championship week episodes. So, which we're delighted, we'll be coming to you each and every night on these, anywhere from about 20 to 30 minutes, approximations, of course, after the final match, just depends on a couple of things when that final match ends. And then of course our schedules and whatnot, but we are here. It's fluid, as everybody knows. That's how tournament play is. That's how the state tournament is, which we'll talk about more. We'll talk more about that later today, but, anything about that, Coach, in terms of today that you noticed? Because I know both you and I were all over the place today, so we were kind of coming and going, getting in as much as we could of all the matches. But anything stand out to you today that made maybe this year just different?
Just, you know, there's a couple, like I said, a couple new teams in. Some of the usual suspects back again. You know, were there going to be any surprises or upsets? You know, how is it going to be different from last year? Because like I said, there's a couple of rematches from, you know, one rematch from last year. You know, was it going to be a different result or was it going to be the same? But, you know, I think a lot of people were excited for the day to, you know, finally come for the state tournament. And I was just, like I said, we were looking forward to, you know, how the results will turn.
Yeah, no doubt. And, couple of words here from, I have no idea who this guy is. Harry Austin, do you know who he is? So, what's up, guys?
I think someone from this, from this show, I guess.
I never heard of the guy.
The fan cast.
Yeah. So I do like how he comments on your shirt, even though I'm wearing a San Antonio FC, right? Jersey here, but he comments
and
on
I got the Spain.
Yeah.
La Liga. I think La Liga is a little bit better than the Premier League.
Yeah, in typical fashion, we never hear from Harry after Real Madrid. He just somehow, his phone stops working whenever there's a Real Madrid victory. So we'll leave it at that. But awesome, Harry. Thank you for joining us, buddy. Appreciate you. All right, so let's dive in. Let's talk first match of the day. So again, we had four matches today, all 4A girls semifinals back-to-back, followed by our 4A boys semifinals back-to-back. Last one just wrapped up about 8:45 or so. So less than an hour ago, about 45 minutes ago, it wrapped up. But we're going to go to game one, our first First semifinal of the day, semifinal number one for the 4A girls, Salina, final score was Salina 2, Bernie 0. Thoughts on this one, Coach?
Well, this is a rematch from last year's semifinal, and I know Bernie, you know, was looking for a little revenge, and I think this game was going to be a lot different from last year. I think they learned, like I said, you had a more experienced Bernie team coming in. And then, yeah, Salina team, yeah, they're the defending champs, you know, but they did lose a couple of key players. So we're going to see if was that going to be a difference in this game, you know, because we've, like I said, we've had some surprises. You know, we had some surprises last week, and like I said, we're not sure how this was going to turn out, but it was a great game.
Yeah. So rematch of last year, as you mentioned, a lot of people felt that this could have been the final, but of course, excuse me. For those of you that don't know, that are joining us and aren't familiar with how the state playoffs play out, is everything is obviously seeded and it's bracket play all the way through the state tournament. And then once the state knows, once the UIL knows who their four regional champions are, right? Who the state tournament representatives will be, they kind of basically reshuffle them and they go off of. They reestablish a 1, 2, 3, and 4 seed based off of winning percentage. And the way I understand that is it's off of total winning percentage. It's not, doesn't matter how tough your district play is, or doesn't matter, you know, strength of schedule doesn't, I don't think overly matters. There isn't a gigantic emphasis placed on that. So at the end of the day, if you played a tough schedule, you're battle tested, but maybe you have a couple of losses along the way, because you played a tougher schedule. In this case, it doesn't sound like you're necessarily rewarded for that, from my understanding. So, excuse me. So we had Salina versus Bernie. Salina being the defending state champion, they've been number one pretty much the entire year. So they were clearly the one seed here as going into the state tournament. Anything different? Obviously, it was different players from last year's semifinal, but the way this one played out, what did you notice? You know, we look at that first half because it did turn out to be kind of a tale of two halves, right? But what did you notice when you look at the game, particularly the first half going into that second half, and then how the second half played out? What were your thoughts on that?
I think Bernie came out with a good game plan, and I think they saw something. Especially in the back four for Salina, they were getting a little exposed a little bit. They're breaking through, especially they were playing some of those long balls and they're getting behind. I think the issue was they weren't able to control. Once they got behind the player, they weren't able to get a full control of the ball and then make a play, like take a shot. I know they had a couple shots, but like serious, like to challenge the keeper, and then they were just like a step away from it or a touch away. But you can tell that Salina was not comfortable with that, and they were kind of a little confused. But they were able to fix that little bit of it in the second half. But I think Bernie had done a little bit more. One thing I would have probably done is maybe press them high. I don't think Salina's been challenged defensively with some of the team maybe pressing high to add pressure, chasing after them. And who knows what could have, you know, maybe some of those balls do fall Bernie's way. If they get the first goal, it might be a different result, because I think it was a pretty even game in the first half until Salina got that shot. And, you know, it was a great shot. You know, the goalkeeper just was, you know, inches away from making the save. And she even made some great saves like she did last year. So
she did. Kenzie Sawyer, she did have. I mean, that game, that first half in particular, both goalkeepers were, you know, Caitlin Gustafson, the goalkeeper for Salina. She was overly tested, but the way they were playing and taking command of their box and just keeping control in that first half, made a big difference. And I would agree in terms of that first half. I know you and I commented off of it when we were watching the match, was it felt like senior forward for Bernie, right? Number 8, Kylie Combs. Like she seemed like she was just one touch away, right? She was with her positioning, her runs, her closing speed. She was creating a lot of chaos for that back line, right? That back line for Celina. And Celina kind of seemed like they were being separated right in that first half. They were being their back line was at times kind of, you could say they looked a little disconnected. But kudos to them in that second half. Because they made that adjustment. And so you go into that first half, it's a tight game, right? And then what did you notice in terms of the adjustments coming out in that first, maybe those first 10, 15 minutes?
Well, you saw that Celina knew, I think they kind of knew going to the second half, they were in the game. And I think they kind of realized that, you know, this, I know we're up 1-0. It's still, they can still get one in. And if we don't make the right adjustments in the back, kind of fix what, you know, the back right. four, you know, and we allow one in, who knows what could happen. And they made the right adjustments. It kind of took away a lot of those early plays from Bernie. And then they also took control of the midfield too, you know, as far as the flow of the game, they were getting more chances. And that allowed, especially when they got into the attacking side of Bernie, they were penetrating a lot. It's just, you know, and one thing I did see, they were shooting, taking shots from deep.
Yeah.
And they were challenging the keeper. And finally, when they got that one free kick, and that was kind of like a misjudgment from the keeper. I think she got pulled in thinking the ball was going to dip in, hit near the six, which, you know, she's had to have to react to that unless they'll put it in the net. I think it just kind of she misjudged it and just, you know, like I said, it went over her. She wasn't able to recover. Maybe she could have stepped back and, you know, use her top hand to possibly maybe try to at least get a touch. But, yeah. You know, that was a great shot by Celina. And that did it. I think that once they got that second goal, it was pretty much, I think that was over. I think Celina, like I said, pretty much controlled the majority of that second half. And Bernie just couldn't get the balls up to their forwards. And, you know, I think the opportunity. In the first half, had they gone the lead or tied, who knows what would happen in the second half. And we, you know, like I said, maybe Bernie would have had the upset. I think this is probably the one team, Bernie probably was probably the closest team of upsetting Celina. You know, I know they played some couple tough teams, like I know Celina had played Ursuline Academy, but they blew them out 6-2. But this is the one game that I think Bernie had really had a shot at knocking them off, and it just kind of slipped out of their hands.
Yeah, you know, as we talk about in that first half, again, Kylie Combs, who we mentioned, the Bernie forward, she was like maybe half a second away, one touch away from just breaking away, being able to separate and get to that ball between the final defender and the goalkeeper. And it just never really materialized, right? And then second half, Celina makes their adjustments. Coach Adams, you could tell some of the adjustments, kudos to him, some of the adjustments that they made in terms of their back line, tightly marking. They said, it's like, hey, if you're gonna beat us, it's going to have to be somebody other than Kylie Combs, right? And I think part of what made it tough for Bernie, for Coach Shannon to get his players up and probably try to press higher was how much all of a sudden it became possession-oriented for Celina, much better. They started connecting passes much better and started spreading out Bernie's defense, particularly in that midfield. So then what was happening was you saw that midfield starting to be disconnected, the forwards having to drop into support a little bit more. And next thing you know, it's like when Bernie was winning the ball in transition, which was a lot harder for them in that second half, it was harder for them to string passes together. It was a very, very good adjustment by Celina in that second half. So again, that game ends in regulation 2-0 Celina, and Celina advances to their second consecutive state final. And they will take on the winner of the next match here that we're going to discuss, in which this was really our one big, for lack of better words, I'm not going to call it a mismatch, but just one team clearly got away from the other, right, at a certain point. And it was relatively tight through that late in that first half, right? Final score ended up being Stephenville, the Honeybees 4, Lumberton Lady Raiders 0. This was a match. Stephenville takes the lead 1-0. And then Lumberton gets on a great shot. Stephenville goalkeeper makes a great save right before the half. And that's what kind of kept that game could have gone in that one play. Everything seemed to swing in the favor of Stephenville, even though they were going into the half. And you could just see the difference in the second half. Excuse me. Was all Stephenville second half. They get two more goals, and then they get a fourth one very late in that match with under 2 minutes to go in that match to win it 4-0. I know you were a little bit more limited on this one, Coach, but your thoughts from your takeaways between what you saw and then post-match analysis?
I did see it in the beginning. It was even, I think, because both teams are not really familiar because they come from Region 1 and Region 3. So they're basically kind of testing each other out, kind of seeing what worked, what doesn't work, and then whatever adjustments are made by the coaches as far as when they make the substitutes and go try to exploit it. What I did notice, the Honeybees were really good at touching the ball, possession, and then finally they were able to get through on that one goal. It was a little kind of a miscommunication between the keeper and the defender, and one of the Honeybee players forward, she was able to tap it in, get behind it, and that's what really that started kind of like the downhill there for Lumberton. That gave confidence to Stephenville, and then they just didn't look back from there from up to that when what I saw from before. I had my other commitments I had to do for the day, but what you can say about Stephenville is, like I said, they're a good possession team, and that's going to be interesting coming, like I said, with the next game and so forth. But they, like I said, you know, to me, they're, like I said, they're one of the best 4A teams. Maybe they're behind, you know, I think they're just as good as, like I said, even like a Bernie, you know, will they have enough to beat Salina? We'll discuss more on that in a bit. But like I said, good showing for them. But hey, also for Lumberton, you know, good showing for them, you know, for making it again to the Final Four, you know, hopefully see what adjustments make for next year to finally get over the hump. But it was a great display of soccer there for Stephenville. We'll see what it does for them for tomorrow.
Yeah. So again, that final second regional state semifinal number two, girls semifinal 4A semifinal number two, Stephenville 4, Lumberton 0. That's your final, setting up a what I think is going to be an absolute classic. Has all the makings to be one, right? In between Salina, defending state champion, and Stephenville, former state champion, right? So the interesting piece between these two is, they have basically been the bookend in terms of state titles between the only thing between when Stephenville won their last state title and Salina's title last year was Midlothian Heritage, right? Winning a pair. So this is just, you know, just a phenomenal group, phenomenal talent at this, at the 4A level here on the girls' side. So that'll set up your final 4A girls state championship, state final, between Salina and Stephenville, and we will discuss that one later in the show today. So, all right. So as we move on, we're going to look at our second pair of semifinals. We move over to the boys' side, 4A boys semifinal number one, and what turned out, what proved to be our match of the day, right? Palestine 3, Lumberton 2, in double overtime. Thoughts on this one, Coach?
Going into this one, like I said, since the defending champs were out, so they put this pretty much put a target on Palestine, you know, because I've had them highly ranked in my power ranking. So, and that was the one game I was kind of looking forward to. Hopefully they got to meet up, but that wasn't going to happen. So going into this game, you know, having the target, there were the favorites going in and out of the four teams. Lumberton, first ever opportunity to get to the state tournament, you know, pretty much had nothing to lose because, like I said, all the pressure was on Palestine, right, to get to the final. And, you know, I didn't get to see the game from what I watched. Some of the highlights, I think it's just on the highlights. I mean, it was a very competitive game, and Palestine is very lucky to get out a win. And just kudos to Lumberton. You know, who they could have on the first try, could have gone to the state tournament. Just unlucky, but they should keep their heads high because, like I said, they have something good special built over there, and hopefully, you know, like I said, maybe they'll be back next year. But you know, but Palestine, like I said, they've had the tradition. They have the history being one of the best 4A teams. And like I said, they found a way to win, and now it's, you know, because the ball's in their court for their game on Friday. See if they can solidify themselves and finally win, you know, get another state title.
Yeah. Yeah, this match was back and forth throughout, especially from the second half. The last about, what was it, last 20 minutes of the second half on, this game really picked up. It was back and forth, you know, Palestine with the go-ahead goal, and then Lumberton comes back and ties it with about 6 minutes left on a beautiful cross-in header. Next thing you know, we're looking at overtime, we're looking at extra time, and Palestine's able to push it off late. To go ahead and take the lead. I thought this one for sure looked like it was going to penalties. That's what it was starting to look like. So it's kind of one of those where when it goes into overtime, you're kind of bummed for the team in a match like this. You're bummed for the team that can advance, but you're kind of, part of you is also glad that you're able to see it finish in the run of play, where, because it can sometimes be brutal in terms of when it goes to penalties, and where that the team that maybe you think deserved more to win, right? That doesn't always play out, especially when you get the penalties. So phenomenal matchup. Yeah, you know, Lumberton should be absolutely proud of their performance today. And yeah, Palestine rose to the occasion, but as you said, yeah, I think they know also as well how they performed well, but also how fortunate they are and how differently things could have gone. Just one or two plays are a little different. So again, that final boys 4A boys semifinal number one, final score, Palestine 3, Lumberton 2, and Palestine advances to the boys 4A state final, which will be played on Friday. So we'll discuss that a little bit. We're actually going to discuss that more on tomorrow's show. So, all right. And then semifinal number two, 4A boys state semifinal number two, was the match that just finished close to an hour ago, which was Hidalgo out of Region 4 and San Elizario out of Region 1. This match, for sure, I thought was headed to overtime, right? And then with a defensive battle, a game where there was very few shots on goal in the first half, it was just kind of a tug of war through the midfield, right? Great goalkeeper play. And then with 46 seconds remaining, Hidalgo gets the go-ahead goal off of a weird, kind of a wacky play. Ball goes off the crossbar, deflects up in the air, lands back down as the goalkeeper's trying to save it. And there's a defender and an attacker crashing on the ball simultaneously. And the ball, the momentum, everything just takes it into the goal. There was definitely some confusion there as to if it was a known goal, if it was going to be allowed. But in the end, the goal stood. And that gave us our final score. Hidalgo 1, Sanelli 0. Thoughts on this one, Coach?
Yeah, this one was pretty much was going to be an even game. I think similar styles. I did get to catch the second half. There was a lot of back and forth.
Yeah.
But it just wasn't much. Like I said, there weren't much opportunities for both teams to score. Like I said, because it's just how even the game was. And my feed for NFHS, which they need to fix, because I didn't get to see that goal pop in, started lagging. But for them, you know, for a game to end,
get a chance, go back and watch it, because it was taking nothing away from Hidalgo, but it was kind of funky. It was.
Yeah, I mean, for them to lose, like I said, I lose on a strange goal. You know, I think that's more gut wrenching there than maybe losing like a penalty kicks, because like I said, you had no control over that. But kudos to Hidalgo. I mean, they, like I said, they got a win last week, which they had to grind it out too, you know, through penalty kicks. And this is their second time getting to the final in quite some time too, because like I said, they won it as a 4, you know, they're in five. Well, they're in a 5A division as a 4A school. They won it, like I said, back in the early 2000s. So they're back at it. You know, it's going to be, like I said, you know, congrats to them. And, you know, you can kind of tell they're kind of like the Cinderella team. And especially what happened for them the last 2 years, because like I said, they were manhandled the last 2 years by Bernie. And I think this year they had the experience. I know that first time they faced Bernie, like I said, they had a lot of freshmen on that team and they had a lot of talent. But I think this year, maybe, like I said, a lot of them, majority of them are juniors, or this might be the special team that finally kind of, you know, gets it done and gets a second star on their jersey. And like I said, it's going to be a great matchup with them and Palestine. Like I said, Palestine is a heavy favorite, but you know, don't count on the Hidalgo. They've already been a giant killer already once. That doesn't mean they can't do it again on Friday.
Yeah, well, you can say giant killer twice already between Bernie. I mean, that's a heck of a run, right, for a Hidalgo, taking nothing away from them, right? But were they exactly favored? Were they exactly favored to beat Bernie? No, not really. I mean, granted, I know where that game was taking place as well, but still. And then were they favored against against what was probably favored, maybe the top seed going into state here in San Elizario, and they take care of them as well. So, yeah. So, I mean, you know, and then there's what, I believe four, if I'm not mistaken, four state titles between these two teams and Hidalgo and San Eli. So these are established programs, established teams, pedigrees, well-coached teams. So there's a lot to say for that Hidalgo and history and culture that Hidalgo can rest on. And at times you could kind of see that, you could kind of appreciate that in this match from both programs, right? Thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think, like I said, with Hidalgo, because like I said, they've been one of the more consistent programs in the Valley. Like I said, they're one of the few that have a state champion. Like I said, the first time they won state, you know, they were playing as a 4A. They had to knock off some big 5A teams to get that title. And I think with Coach Morales, as I said, he's established a culture down there. They expect to be here every year. And also to kind of, like I said, some areas like with Bernie, you know, they're expected to be in the state title hunt each year. And, you know, the last 2 years have been disappointing, but like I said, I think he has a team. I think they've learned, you know, a lot of things, looked at themselves in the mirror. And like I said, they're finding ways to win games and whatever it takes. Like I mentioned, sometimes it takes luck. And that was a lucky goal that, you know, not to take away anything bad from it, but like I said, that was, you know, you need something like that. And and going into the final, you know, Palestine might be kind of like, okay, yeah, we're the fair, you know, they're the favorites, but I made a little bit nervous going into this game because, like I said, the pressure's on them. And Hidalgo, what pressure do they have? You know, no one expecting them to be there. And that's what it's going to make them dangerous on Friday. And I'm sure that they're going to have, you know, they'll have a game plan ready for this one. I'm sure what they saw, they maybe saw some things that, hey, you know, maybe we can take advantage of, and we'll take it from there.
Yeah. And I'm trying to think of, you remember the match? It was earlier in the day. I can't remember the match or the moment where I even made that comment to you about, this is one of those moments where that comes up as being lucky. Do you remember what it was? I'm trying to remember for the life of me. I can't remember.
I think it was the first goal, like, for Stephenville. You know, it was kind of like a lucky play there too. That was that miscue by the goalkeeper and the defender, and just one of the Honeybee players was just able to stick her leg and get a tap in and got in.
Yeah. And credit to them, you know, but not to say that was 100% luck. You know, so much of it is your players. When you have a player with good soccer IQ, good spatial awareness, and they understand, they have a knack for being in the right place at the right time for when something like that unfolds. So, yeah. So little things like that is how, kind of, when we say to make a run to a state title, some things just have to break your way a little bit. That's one of them. So, yeah, perfect examples on both. So that sets up a 4A boys state final between Palestine and Hidalgo. That will be scheduled for Friday. We'll discuss again. We're going to discuss that in more detail on tomorrow's show, because that final is not scheduled to be played until Friday. So, but you know, kudos to Lumberton, both of their squads, right? Kind of like what we saw with Bernie and Salina last year at the 4A level. Both this year was Lumberton, both of their squads making the state tournament. Congratulations to both of them, to the Raiders, Lady Raiders, Sanelli as well. Congratulations to them. And of course, to Bernie, Coach Jeremy Shannon, who they've played they've had a remarkable season. And that's tough, right? It's tough when you've had that great of a season, that strong of a showing all year. You've been so consistent. And then to have to bow out at this stage. It's always tough. It's always tough. So, but in the end, there's only one team that can emerge victorious on the final day of the season, right? So only one team takes it. Everybody else, you know, experiences the same thing. So congratulations to all of our state semifinalists who, after today, obviously will not be returning to the final, but also congratulations to Salina, Stephenville, Palestine, and Hidalgo, who will all advance to the boys and girls 4A's state final. So, all right, that is this first segment, I should say, here is brought to you by our good friends at Gipper. In case you don't know about Gipper, they do everything in the world of social media, digital graphics. So Gipper is the way schools, athletic departments, ADs, and coaches create world-class marketing content. Join over 2,500 coaches and ADs and use Gipper to create high-quality visual branded graphics for your program. The best part, anyone can do it in seconds on any device without needing any design experience whatsoever. So, and if you do have design experience, you want to do a little bit more, they are designed for that person as well, for the what they call the the power user. If you have that experience, whether it's through Photoshop, Canva, different various Gipper, you know, you have that Gipper, is they empower you to be able to do even more with their platform. So, and just for being a listener, or just for being a supporter and a listener of the 50/50 podcast, they're going to reward you with a 10% off any first time Gipper purchase. So again, just for being a listener of the 50/50 podcast, a supporter of the 50/50 podcast, you will be awarded a 10% off any first time Gipper purchase, any annual package. And that's all you have to do is go visit gipper.com/partner/50/50 to learn more. Again, that's gipper.com/50/50. All right. Okay, so that's going to do it for segment one. We're going to come back shortly. We're going to look ahead to tomorrow, what we got on tap with our 5A semifinal preview, and then we'll wrap up with the 4A girls final. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after a word from our friends at College Promoters USA.
College Promoters USA, founded and located in San Antonio, operates as the only family-owned college recruiting company in Texas that brings a truly professional, local, and face-to-face approach to area high school student athletes and their families. As the lead sponsor and proud supporter of the 50/50 podcast, alongside Coach Hector Cano, College Promoters is proud to be elevating its support for the college soccer recruiting process more than any other service in the country. If your son or daughter is serious about competing in college soccer, call College Promoters USA directly at 210-494-6363 or visit collegepromotersusa.com anytime. College Promoters USA, the best investment a parent can make in their high school student athlete.
And we're back. And we're back. Episode 10 of Inside Texas High School Soccer. It is day one, championship week, our 4A wrap up. So tomorrow, day two, we look ahead. So Thursday, April 13th, it is the day of 5A joins the party, 5A semifinals, along with our 4A girls finals. Thoughts on anything for day two, Coach? What maybe has you most, before we dive in and go over all the matches, something that maybe has you maybe most excited about tomorrow?
Well, tomorrow we're going to have some first timers coming in, some exciting matchups. I know we're going to get into the details, and then also the big final between Salina and Stephenville, two undefeated teams from that Dallas area. We'll see will Salina get the repeat, or the Honeybees end up throwing the curveball and winning it, you know, which they've done in the past. So,
right.
So it's going to be a great game between both of them.
Yeah. And we will preview that in our last segment of today's show. So, yes. So we'll come back and we'll definitely talk about tomorrow's 4A girls final. So, all right. First match of the day, the only one that we know for sure that is, knock on wood, that is going to start on time, right? Tomorrow, 9:30 AM, our 5A girls semifinal number one between Smithson Valley and Grapevine. Smithson Valley comes in 27-0 on the season. Grapevine 24-3-2. Thoughts on this one? The last year's 5A state finalist in Grapevine versus one of our newbies. Fresh Coach Atkins has his Lady Rangers in the state tournament for the first. That's kind of amazing, kind of hard to believe, as consistent of a winner as they are. But you know, he brings arguably his best team that they've ever had there. Thoughts on this one?
Well, what you can say about Vincennes Valley? I know other outlets didn't pick them to make the state tournament. I know we were, because we've seen them play, you know, they were one of our favorites to get into the state tournament. You know, we had faith in them. Like I said, Coach Higgins has the squad ready to go. I think last year's disappointment, because I think this should have gone further last year. Mm-hmm. I think it's really when they were in 6A, really kind of motivated them this year. Now moving in 5A, and they can say, hey, you know, it's still tough competition, because they say it's still 11 versus 11. But, you know, there were some that didn't think they were going to make it this far, and here they are. But they got a tough matchup, and they may not be the favorite for this game, because, like I said, Grapevine is a state finalist. And you saw what they did to Bernie Champion last year with those throw-ins, and I'm sure that's in the back of their mind. And, yeah, you know, how is Spencer Valley going to be able to defend those? And because, like I said, Grapevine does depend a lot on that, on those plays. And, you know, but I think Spencer Valley has enough, you know, especially with motivation. I know they had to grind it out last week against McAllen. I think that was a good game for them because, you know, I know they breezed through that regional semifinal, the regional final, which I know they should have scored more. They're just kind of unlucky in some chances. They were able to find a way to win. But I think that was a good thing for them to kind of grind it out, get a good test before this one, because this is going to be a test for them. I know they're, like I said, I'm sure the Dallas area doesn't see Spencer Valley as a favorite on this, but Grapevine has their hands full because they cannot take Spencer Valley lightly. But Spencer Valley does need to find a way to stop, especially those throw-ins, especially on their attacking the side of the field.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. We have not seen this one as much, as often at this level as you would think in San Antonio versus Dallas, right? So how this, I think in terms of, you know, on paper, definitely Smithson Valley matches up, I think you would say, relatively well. I know Grapevine, just a heck of a program, very consistent program. Here they are in the state tournament again, very well-coached program, just a very, very technical program, and can score pretty quickly. But that's also what you get Smithson Valley, right? Smithson Valley can score in bunches very quick, right? So multiple finishers on this team as well. So two great quality, very deep teams, very talented teams, very well coached teams. I'm looking forward to this one. So that will be, excuse me, that will be game one, 5A girls semifinal number one, game one of the day, 9:30 a.m. Smithson Valley versus Grapevine. So game number two of the day will also be our 5A girls semifinal number two of the day, and that brings us home field advantages you can get in the Georgetown Lady Eagles, right, versus Frisco. So now this one shifts a little bit. It's more of an Austin versus Dallas versus DFW feel. So Georgetown comes in 25-0-4 on the year, undefeated squad. They are two, right? The two undefeated squads in this field of four are out of San Antonio and Austin, right? So Georgetown 25-0-4 on the year, Frisco 22-2-2 out of that powerhouse district. Thoughts on this one?
This will be another great matchup. But I think the pressure is going to be on Georgetown because you're playing in your backyard. And, you know, you got to – I think is the pressure big on them that they're going to have to deliver? And is it going to be too big for them? Frisco, on the other hand, like I said, look at that, their district. Then the teams have, they have to grind it out. They beat some great teams like Reedy and, so, you know, a lot of the Metroplex areas. You know, we're going to see who's really the one that's more battle tested. On this one, I'm gonna give actually the edge a little bit to Frisco because of kind of the teams who they've played. Not a knock on Georgetown, but just to kind of, like I said, Frisco had to dig deep to get some big wins on some of these teams that normally would kind of do some damage in the other regions. So it's going to be a competitive game. you know, Georgetown really needs to set the tone. I think they need to feed off the fans and get a lead early. I think if they do that, that'll help them win the game. But if Frisco jumps on them right away and gets a lead, the being in that spotlight with your fans, try to not to disappoint them. And if you're down, that could affect you.
Right.
You know, your mindset. Like I said, this is the mentality monster game right here. Because you're at home, you're playing one of the elites from the Metroplex. So it's going to be, this game could end up going to overtime too. And I can even go into penalty kicks unless someone finds a way. And this, like you mentioned, it comes to coaching. Who can find the one weakness they can exploit or the tactic that's going to get them over the hump and get them to win?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and the other thing too is Georgetown, right, is trying to keep, you know, if you're their coach, just trying to keep your squad's focus and making sure that they're not almost too amped up, right? Especially in the beginning. And not, because sometimes that can happen with teams, right? They're so amped up, especially. And then it's the added pressures of, hey, we're playing, we're at the state tournament on our home field. And you're like so amped up and so much energy leading up to the game, pregame, you know, pregame warmups, introductions. And then you're like exhausted, right? You feel like, oh my God, we still have an actual game to play, right? So how that plays out, I think Georgetown can be solid in the early goings, I think, and they settle in just fine. I think this could make for a great match. So again, that is scheduled for noon, approximately noon, 5A girls semifinal number two between Georgetown and Frisco. And in between that, we will have the match, which we're going to showcase later, we're going to talk about later, the 4A girls final, right, which will take place tomorrow, approximately 2:30 p.m., and that's kind of sandwiched in there between the 5A girls matches and the 5A boys semifinal matches. So that one is slated for approximately 2:30 p.m. between Salina and Stephenville, which we'll talk about later. Excuse me. So we move on. Next match, game number four of the day, which we now find ourselves on the boys' side. It is our boys 5A regional, or I keep saying regional, state semifinal number one between El Paso, Bel Air. Wait for it. All right. Bel Air and Mission Sherilyn. Bel Air comes in, the Highlanders come in 27-0-1 on the year. Sherilyn comes in 19-5-3 on the year. That one is slated for approximately 5 p.m. Thoughts on this one, Coach?
It's like I said, it's like kind of the matchup with San Eli and Hidalgo. It's two border teams, similar styles, very lots of talent.
And you've seen Sherilyn play a handful of times this year, right? So thoughts on that?
Yeah, when I watched them against Rouse, you know, Rouse was a heavy favorite, but what I noticed with Sherilyn, they really kept their composure. Even though they were down in that game, they kept their composure. They're very technical, and like I said, they found a way to win. They got those two quality goals, you know, to win against Rouse, you know. And Bel Air needs to kind of be aware of that. You know, Sherilyn's not going to roll over on them. Throw the records out on this one, because it's going to be a dogfight. And if Bel Air wants to get to the final, they're going to have to play very disciplined. More of their style, you know, keep away position from Sherilyn. Like I said, Sherilyn also was very athletic too, what I noticed from that regional final against Rouse. So we'll see what kind, like I said, it's going to come down maybe to coaching too. It's been a while since Sherilyn's been in this position. Bel Air's, I think, not too long, far, you know, just recent, I think maybe 3 years ago. So the coaching, like I said, it's going to come down who can pretty much get the right tactics and execute it in this game, and also who has possession of the ball and can finish. And that's the key. The thing is, can you finish on the attacking third? Sherilyn can do it, and they've done it. You know, even from behind, they don't sweat it. If they're behind, they're able to find a way to grind it out. You know, Bel Air maybe hasn't had that, you know, been behind yet. And, you know, we don't know how they react to that. So, like I said, it's up to Bel Air to really kind of set the tone and But it's going to be a great matchup. You're going to see a lot of talented players on the pitch, and it's going to be a close one. But I'm still giving the edge to Bel Air on this one. But this could be the game of the day. Don't be surprised. This one's the game of the day.
Nice. Yeah. You know, the thing with Bel Air, I know. So yeah, you're talking about Coach Delgado there, Sergio Delgado. He's got him, you know, won the state title back in 2019. So, excuse me. And this is the thing with Bel Air is this is a very stingy defense, right? They haven't allowed a goal the entire state playoffs so far. And they just, you know, exceptional defensive play. And they take the lead on you. They score a goal, bag a goal or two, and then they just kind of keep the ball away from you, right? So one thing of note in this one, going back to the Bel Air's regional final versus Midlothian, you remember we were discussing this. Bel Air finished that match with, I believe, 9 players, as I was told. So they will be out. They will be out a couple of players for this state semifinal matchup. So that is something to keep in mind. Not an excuse. They're not going to offer that as an excuse, but it will, on some level, it will play a factor, right? So that's something to think about. Again, that's the 5A boys state semifinal number 1, slated for approximately 5 p.m. tomorrow between El Paso Bel Air and Mission Sherrilyn. And then our nightcap final match of the day, slated for approximately 7:30 p.m., our 5A boys regional semifinal, state semifinal number 2, between Frisco Lone Star and Pflugerville Conley. Frisco Lone Star comes in at 22-1-2 on the year. Pflugerville Conley comes in. The Cougars come in at 23-2-4 on the year. Thoughts on this one?
This is going to be another great game too. Frisco Lone Star finally was able to get, you know, past, you know, that with a Wakeland.
Slayed the Wolverine, huh?
Slayed the Wolverine the there.
Can't say the dragon, yeah.
Yeah, slayed the Wolverine, and finally now they're, you know, is this their tournament to win? You know, now you knocked off the giant, now you're here. You killed the dynasty, now you're here. But they got a tough matchup. That Pflugerville Conley team is a very dangerous team. And they had to beat, like I said, Conley had to beat, you know, they only had 2 losses in the season, but they had to beat some quality teams to get to this. You know, they beat an undefeated Wisdom team, a really good College Station team. They're going to be amped up knowing they're the, like I said, they're not the favorite on this game. You know, and I think coming into these games, being the underdog, you know,
it's kind of a de facto home game for them too, right?
Yeah, because it's still in their backyard, so they'll have the home crowd there cheering them on, and I think that'll motivate them, you know, for this game. If they can get like set the tone of the game, that's the big thing. Is when I noticed like today's games, you know, what's important is setting the tone. If you don't set the tone, on that, it's going to affect you as far as winning games. For Lone Star, they have to do that. You know, this is a real scrap. Like I said, the Conley's a real scrappy bunch, but they have talent. They got to get a lead. If not, you know, they keep them hanging around. You know, it's like I said, what you saw about an hour ago could happen, and that ends your season. So this will be another competitive game. I'll still give the edge to little Freudian slip there. to Lone Star. The Lone Star. Yeah, we're so used to Wakeland being here. So to Lone Star, you know, I'll give the edge to Lone Star, but it's going to be a very competitive game. So, but this could be also maybe up there with the game before them. So,
I know you gave us your prediction for the Bel Air Sherrilyn match. Let's go back to the beginning. Thoughts, prediction. Prediction and score, Smithson Valley, Grapevine. Girls. We'll start with the girls again.
I think Smithson Valley finds a way. I think they got a 2-1 win. Ooh, okay. If they can defend those throw-ins and the state discipline, and like I said, they have to score early on. They've been aggressive. I think last week, you know, that regional final, they were a little off. they should have poured it on that regional final. They were just unlucky, but they find a way to win. I think, like I said, that was an eye opener for them. Mm. They said, hey, you know, we can still lose games. We need to get it. You know, if they have to find a grind out a game.
Yeah.
That last week helped out. So this is, I know it's not, and like I said, Gravesend is not McAllen. So Gravesend's been there. They're a state finalist. So they've been there, done that. And yeah. I think they want, like I said, they want to, you know, get that title that was looted from them last year. But this, I think Spencer Valley has enough, especially with their experience. I think they'll win 2-1 on this one.
Yeah. And for them to be effective, you know, Spencer Valley have to probably get on the board early, and they're just going to have mm-hmm. the attack is going to have to keep coming at Grapevine, because, you know, Grapevine's, they're not going to get rattled, right? Even if they're down 1-0, 2-0 halfway through the second half, we've seen them do, you know, weird things and comebacks in the spot. So the moment won't be too big for Grapevine, right? They won't get rattled. So, all right. Game number two on the day, 5A girls semifinal number two, Georgetown and Frisco. Predictions and score and prediction.
Yeah, hopefully I don't upset anybody in the hometown. I think Frisco finds a way to win in this one. I think they pull it out. I know Georgetown, you know, it's undefeated. They've had a great season. But I think if you look at what Frisco's done and look at what their district they're in. You play Wakeland, Reedy, and Lone Star, those are playoff, regional, final, even state tournament games.
Yes, yeah, all of them.
You know, it's a big difference, and not a knock on Georgetown's district. You know, like I said, they got this far for a reason, but Frisco's kind of turned it up, and I think this will be also a close game, but I think Frisco is going to win this one. I say maybe like a 3-1 on this one.
Nice. Okay. Good. And then, so that leaves us with one more game, one more prediction for tomorrow. Where am I here? The 5A boys. So it'll be our final match, game five of the day. 5A boys state semifinal number two, Frisco, Lone Star, and Pflugerville Connolly. Score and prediction.
I think Lone Star wins this one. It's going to be a grind out game. I think Conley's going to try to get it on them early right away. They're going to kind of throw that first punch and see what happens, like kind of on the Rocky movies, like see if he gets scared or, you know, and if, how he's going to react to it. But I think Lone Star, like I said, they have enough. I think, you know, this could be their year. You know, we'll see beyond that. But I think this will be a close game. I think this game will be like maybe a 3-2 win for them.
Nice. Okay. Yeah, it is tough. It is tough to go against these squads coming out of that Frisco district. Very, very tough. Yeah, no doubt. So, all right. Yeah, that's so again, tomorrow, those matches will start. First match, it's an early start. First match of the day will start at 9:30 a.m. That will be the 5A girls semifinal number one between Smithson Valley and Grapevine. So it's an early start, five matches, one additional match from what we had today. So you'll have your four 5A matches, excuse me, with the 4A girls final kind of sandwiched in there in between those four semifinals. So, all right, that brings us to tomorrow's final, our first state final of the weekend, of the tournament. 4A girls season ends tomorrow, and it brings us our defending state champion in the Salina Lady Bobcats versus the Stephenville Honeybees, who have a pair of state titles of their own. Thoughts that, and that one is slated for approximately 2:30 p.m. That will take place after semifinal number two of the girls tomorrow. So, thoughts on this one, Coach?
This is gonna be a great game too. The one thing with Stephenville, can they do what Bernie didn't get to do? Is finish in the final third? You know, get a clear shots on goal. Because if you don't get clear shots on goal, and also don't take advantage of a lot of it, because like I said, Salina made some mistakes today, and Bernie just wasn't just a step off from making them pay. can Stephenville do what Bernie didn't do today and finish and create chances and get goals? Because you know Salina can pour it on in the flip of a switch, right, they've done it before. I know they lost one of their best players last year, but this team is more. This is a they're real, tight squad. Lots of they've been there, done that, and to me, I think this is the beginning of the Salina girls dynasty, and I'm gonna give Salina the edge on this. I think they'll win this one 3-1.
Wow. All right. Yeah. That's a Stephenville, Coach Rhodes is obviously going to have the Honeybees ready as well, but that is a team that just probably looked of all the teams that played today, maybe just looked the sharpest, right? Just start to finish, even though that first half was a little slow, which is kind of to be expected when you get to the state tournament, right? The jitters, everything else, feeling each other out. but they put up 4 goals today on Lumberton. And obviously Salina is, no disrespect to Lumberton, but the defending state champion is not, they're a little different. How do you see this one? How do you see this one unfolding in terms of, I know you gave us a score, but how do you see this unfolding over the run of play?
I mean, if Stevieville wants to have a chance to win, they're going to do kind of a lot of the same what they did today, with the touches.
You mentioned possession. The press. You mentioned the press, right?
Yeah, the press. They're going to have to challenge that defense. And they have to. You're going to have to take some chances. And like I said, you have to execute those mistakes. Like I said, the mistakes that I saw today from the first game was with the back four, they weren't taken advantage by Bernie. Does Stephenville have enough, or do they have the players that can actually take advantage of those and finish those mistakes? Right. Because if you can punish him with that, then like I said, if they can do that, they'll win the game. I think, but also you got to look at Salina. Salina's probably going to patch things up. They're going to fix, like you saw the adjustment they made on in the second half, and really Bernie was a non-factor. They really couldn't get anything going. So, It's going to be like punch for punch, but the second half is going to be key. Who's going to make the right adjustments, and then be able to take it home? But if Salina gets the lead in the first half, it's Stephenville's going to have to risk it and push up numbers, but that's where Salina will make you pay. And another factor comes in. You saw those set pieces by Salina. Very deadly on the set piece, especially that 40-yard shot. So that they have an advantage on that too. Dude, if Stephenville gives up set pieces around the 18, and they're in trouble there too. So you have to, like I said, you're gonna have to neutralize certain advantages from other teams, vice versa. But Stephenville, like I mentioned, if they can get a lead, they can take advantage with some of the mistakes. Like I said, that Bernie couldn't capitalize. They can win this game, but if they get behind, it's going to be all Salina down the rest of the way.
And Coach Adams will have them ready as well. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it just, the way it played out, Salina very dominant second half, but Salina still had to work. They had to work hard to beat an exceptionally quality Bernie squad, right? Even though it ended 2-0. The other factor is, because this is the one where it applies, right, is who handles it better, that recovery? Because obviously as soon as these matches were over, it was right into recovery. You have to start the recovery mode and get ready for another match approximately 24 hours later. Who handles that better? Because it will be a factor, right? You're playing that, you put in so much into that semifinal. Now you got to turn around and play a final approximately 24 hours later. How do you think they handle that?
I think the coaches have experience well, especially Salina, since they've been there. I'm sure Stephen has been too, but more recently it's been Salina, so they know what they need to do to recover, and also what I think also one advantage that they may, I think Salina probably got an advantage, is be able to watch Stephenville in that second game. And I know Stephen was there watching that first game. They got maybe about a half, But, you know, they didn't get to see much of that second half as far as the adjustments. Solana got to see the whole game, you know, see, okay, what Lumberton did right, what they did wrong, and say, hey, you know, we make sure we don't do this. And, you know, like I said, and able to kind of recover to see what they're going to do, be able to do tomorrow. Stephenville, like I said, you know, they weren't challenged by Lumberton, you know, and Solana was. And I think maybe that was a wake-up call for Solana. Hey, you know, we better get it in gear because, like I said, we got another test. I mean, I think yeah. Bernie and Stephenville, I think, are good. They're like kind of like if there's a – you have Solana number one for 4A girls, you have a 2A, 2B, that's Bernie and Stephenville, mm-hmm. you know, and, yeah. and because they have quality athletes and quality coaching on there. It's a shame, like I said, you know, one got eliminated, mm-hmm. but – you know, it's they're both pose a challenge for Solana, but you know, Solana's like I said, they find a way to win, but they just got so many things that they can hurt you.
Yeah,
and I wonder yeah. Stephenville is prepared for that because they didn't see it in the semifinal, and you know how do they, you know, let's say they give up a goal off a free kick from distance, how does Stephenville react to that? You know, can they recover for that and get a goal back? Mm-hmm. You know, that's gonna be a key, you know, something to watch tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing, right? That's the scary part with this Salina squad, is as much talent as they lost from last year's state title team, they might be better, or they're just more well-rounded, more weapons this year, right? And then excuse me. And then you cannot discount a very organized defense. And then in goal between the pipes there, Caitlin Gustafson, just an exceptional mm-hmm. goalkeeper, right? That's going to always obviously keep them in a tight match. You know, you can make that argument that maybe it's advantage Salina on the account of their goalkeeper as well. So, excuse me. So again, I see in this one, I see it's my gut tells me, we're looking at it at overtime, but we'll see. So again, so 4A girls state final tomorrow, Salina versus Stephenville. I'm hoping it can exceed the hype and rival last year's 4A girls final, right? That we saw between, which was one for the ages between Salina and Midlothian Heritage. We've been talking about it all year. I'm hoping my money is that this might be the match of the day tomorrow. So we'll see. So, all right. That's going to do it. That's going to do it for championship week, day one, our 4A wrap up. Tomorrow, we will bring you the 5A wrap up, 5A wrap up along with the 4A girls final. We'll also look ahead to the 4A boys final. And then we'll start looking ahead at the 6A matchups that are on tap later in the week as well. Final stoppage time, final thoughts, coach. Thank you. Shout outs. Anything on your mind before we transition over to day two tomorrow?
Like I mentioned, like last night on the SAFC podcast, shout out to you and Steve for joining me for the Region 4 6A audio cast. Thank you for all the ones that tuned in. We had over 23,000 point something viewers. So that's a big thank you for you guys. You know, we're proud of that.
I still don't know what's up with my headset. It sounded so distant. I don't know what was up with that. So
it was the rain. It was that rain, that delay, yeah. That 9-hour epic. I think we broke the record from the bracketology, I think, for that.
Oh yeah.
Coverage.
Yeah.
So, but that was fun. And
you can't count the rain delay though. You can't count the rain yeah. delay in that. The water delay. I don't know. You can't count that. So, but
yeah,
thank you. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead. Finish. Sorry.
You know, like I said, yeah, you know, just, you know, thank you for you and Steve. And like I said, you know, us giving updates on what was going on around the state too, you know, updates on scores and so forth. That was fun. And like I said, you know, we'll see for next year again. We'll hopefully get to do it again next year. I don't know. It'll be 9 hours. Hopefully, maybe Region 4 needs to move the game to the Alamo Dome. So just in case if it rains, we have no more delays.
Yeah.
Like I said, we had a lot of delays last week.
I think if they start the match or the matches a little earlier, maybe we're okay, or we at least get through one, maybe one and a half, right? But I mean, it couldn't have played out any worse, right? We were all of what I think 10 minutes into the game, and then mm-hmm. then the cell just came in and just sat over Comalander for the next hour and a half. So, yeah, that was a tough one. So
yeah, maybe they'll start the game at 11 or something. I think maybe they need to do that, is do like 11, 1, 3, and 5. Mm-hmm. Just in case you have to push it back, you still, you're not playing the game at past 10 or midnight at some places.
Yeah. Yeah. So awesome. So yeah. And one thing of note, I wanted to wait till the end to mention a big shout out to, so our team member, our 50/50 podcast contributor, Steve Sanchez. Coach Steve is actually down in Georgetown right now. He's there. He was there today. He'll be down there tomorrow as well. As far as I understand, he'll be there at least for a couple of days, giving us tidbits, a lot of background information. So he's kind of our beat reporter, right? Giving us a lot of really good coverage in addition to what we're watching on the stream. He's there and he's giving us a little bit more insight and really good, exceptional coverage and just a lot of just behind the scenes stuff. So thank you to Steve-O. Appreciate you, buddy. And I know hopefully he'll be able to join us on later in the week, in championship week later on when he gets back from Georgetown. And we'll see. There is still the small possibility that both maybe Rafa and or I could be in Georgetown over the weekend. So it's still TBD. Either way, we'll be here for you guys. We'll be here to bring you the coverage. Like we said, we're trying to shoot for about 20 to 30 minutes after the final match of the day. It just depends when that match ends. And then, of course, what's going on with us. But we will promise to be here for you guys within the hour for sure. Each day for the next couple of days. Again, this is our, can you believe this is our third year doing this, man? So yeah. You know, it'll be come Saturday. It'll mark the end of season three of Inside, what turned into a spinoff series of the 50/50 podcast in Inside Texas High School Soccer. Thoughts on that?
I mean, it was just like last week that we just started the season early after Thanksgiving, and that's gone pretty fast. You know, we've seen some exciting games, not only in the non-district, but even district, and so here are the early, these playoffs, and like I said, even today's games, there were some great games today, and hopefully, maybe Steve will also bring us some barbecue there from Salt Lake, since he's watching. All as we go there, we'll see. But you know, like I said, it's been an exciting season. I think it's an even better season, even than from last year, because you know, like I said, ever since the pandemic, it's been coming up. Yeah. I think each year it's outdoing each other, you know, with the different stories from different teams and the different scenarios that's going around, like the contenders or Cinderellas. You know, we had some Cinderellas here that did great this year, and yeah, we have some our usual suspects that in the state tournament they're still chugging along, but it makes it great. And like I said, the coverage that we're giving is just due, and but I'm excited about it. We'll see. We'll see who'll get our first state champion tomorrow. You know, yeah, we'll see who. Yeah. So we get someone that repeats, or we get someone that's brand new, gets another star from New Jersey.
Kind of brand new, gets another kind star. Of brand new. yeah, Stephenville. Either way, I think we're in store for a great 4A girls final for sure. And but yeah, I was just thinking the same thing. We start crowning state champions tomorrow, right? So I'm excited. My final thoughts, a couple of things. One, you know, right back at you. I know I mentioned Steve as well, but this has been great. Thank you. Thank you for being here and being able to share this with you. What people don't see is the show, the episodes, they tend to be the easy part, right? It's everything that goes the behind the scenes, the research, the communications we're doing with multiple coaches, the emails, the DMs, the actual analysis, the research that goes behind this stuff. It's not easy to do. It's tough, and to try to do in a within our lives, within our schedules, but it's part of our commitment to you all. It's part of our commitment to the sport. So we thank you. We thank you, our supporters, our listeners. You're the reason why we do it. So thank you. Thank you so much. And then my other thought also is, again, I think I mentioned this, I believe, in the last episode, but it's been kind of ongoing. Just wanted to thank a lot of just friends, fellow coaches, people that have been reaching out to just to ask me what's going on with me. Where am I headed next? Am I going to continue to coach? Or I don't know, somewhere the rumor started that I was retiring and I was like, no, man, I'm not that old. But no, there is hopefully something in the works soon. So more to come on that. But to everybody that's reached out and that's, you know, given the well wishes, thank you so much. I appreciate you, my family. Because this is a family decision, obviously. We appreciate you. I appreciate you so much. So thank you for that. Really, really appreciate you all. But hey, this is state tournament, you know, state championship week. This is, I look at this like it's the pre-fiesta to the fiesta that we have here in San Antonio at the end of the month, right? It's just one big, it's a festival of football, right? Is how I like to refer to it. So excited. We crown a champion starting tomorrow and then every day after that. So yeah, really excited for it. Thank you again to all our listeners, all our supporters. Thank you to Rafa. Thank you to Steve, Harry joining us out here tonight. All our supporters, those of you that were listening tonight, those of you that will be listening again, you can find us on social media at 50_50pod, on Twitter, on Instagram at 50_50podcast. Go to YouTube, subscribe, sign up for notifications. You can find us at the 50_50podcast on YouTube. You'll find our whole library on there. Excuse me. And then you can also find us on all podcast platforms, all major podcast platforms, wherever you get your podcasts, you can find us there as well. So for Rafa, this is going to do it. I'm Coach Hector Cano. Until the next time, you know what to do. Keep downloading and keep listening. You've been listening to the 50/50 podcast powered by College Promoters USA. Help us continue to grow by liking, rating, and subscribing on all major podcast platforms. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter at 50_50pod, on Instagram at 50_50podcast, as well as on YouTube at the 50_50podcast. Until the next time, keep downloading and keep listening.